Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad to be here. Are you?
Yes.
Amen. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. I'd like to welcome everyone. We have a few announcements. Aaron needs to meet with the ladies after church. I'm supposed to remind the ladies that Christie's Christmas party extravaganza, blowout, whatever... they're calling that, is happening after church. So the ladies, if you weren't aware and you want to go, talk to Christie, one of the ladies. I'm sure if you need a ride or something. But the ladies are going to Christie's after church, and they're going to spend a little time in fellowship. If you're a fellow, us men who are being left behind, I'm not sad about that. I think why it is. If you're a fella, we saved some food from, we had plenty of food left over the other night. We've saved some food, so some of us men are going to go over to the fellowship hall. We're going to heat up food and enjoy some fellowship with one another while the ladies are having their Christmas party at Christie's house. I assume any lady that's here is invited, right, Christie?
I'm sorry?
All the ladies are invited, or is it? Okay. If you're a lady and you want to go after church, you're welcome to. Another announcement is don't forget that this Wednesday is our Christmas Eve service, our candlelight service. We are meeting at 4. We're going to have finger foods and fellowship if you want to attend that. But you don't have to come to that to come to the candlelight service. The candlelight service will be at 5 o'clock, okay? It's good to come to church since we're celebrating Jesus' birthday, amen? And so we will be having a candlelight service. It's not real long, and we all enjoy that, so please come. Any other announcements? Seeing that there's no other announcements, we need to get our hearts and minds ready to worship God. A good way to do that is we're going to play some music, to meditate, to pray, and get your heart right with God, a time of confession. It's good that we have that time as the people of God, not that to tell your neighbor, but that we all come to God to confess our sins between us and Him as we prepare to worship Him this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege it is to come before You this morning, to come together as Your people to worship You, to praise Your name, to hear Your word, Father, to be encouraged in worship of You, but with fellowship with one with another. Father, we pray that as we celebrate this season and the birth of Christ, as we hear Your word on that matter today, that we will glorify You in our life, that we will enjoy the season with the attitude and character that You would have us to have. May we bring You glory and honor, Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and amen. Our call to worship this morning is from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." And I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. And the people of God said, "Amen." Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals to hymn number 188. We have heard the word of God. Let's all stand and sing praise to him. Hymn number 188, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." You may be seated. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Advent being as we mark the four Sundays before our celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. We mark the first Sunday with hope, the second Sunday with peace, the third Sunday with joy, and today the fourth Sunday with love. And so it's a deep and boundless love that we receive from God. I want to turn to John, the book of John, chapter 3. Very famous section or passage of Scripture. John 3, verse 16 through 19. Where we have a very definitive scriptural passage about the love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. I got a quote from Charles Spurgeon here in your bulletin. Speaking of the love of God, and what we hear this verse about God's love and the light that He's brought into the world, and the only reason that men do not believe and they do not trust and we are all not reconciled to Jesus Christ is they reject Him because they hate the light. And the Bible says because their deeds are evil. This passage sometimes, verse 3:16, can almost be used as a mantra for universalism or the belief that everyone will be saved, or sometimes it can be used to put an overemphasis on men and take away from the act and sovereignty of God. But what this verse declares that God had such a great love for the world that He sent His Son. But to be a beneficiary of that, you must believe, you must trust, you must follow, you must kneel before Him. But Charles Spurgeon says this: Emmanuel, God with us in our nature. And what he's speaking about is what we have in Jesus as believers. Emmanuel, God with us in our nature, in our sorrow, in our life work, in our punishment, in our grave, and now with us, or rather, we with Him in resurrection, ascension, triumph, and second advent splendor. Amen? Second Advent meaning the time when Jesus consummates His kingdom and returns again. Let's light the fourth Advent candle. Let's all turn in our hymnals to hymn number 206. If you're able, I would ask that you would stand. Silent Night, Holy Night.
Holy night, Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Would our ushers please come forward? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come and we thank you for the birth of Christ. We thank you for his life, his fulfilling the entire law, his sacrifice, his death, his burial, his resurrection. We celebrate Jesus. We thank you for the mercy and grace we have in him. We pray, Father, that as we give back to you today, that we will recognize and we all will acknowledge that we give back not only materially from what you've given to us, but out of love and gratitude, Father, we live and offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to serve and worship you in all of our being. We pray, Father, that as we give today, that you will bless it for your glory, for the furtherance of our church, and for the spread of the gospel. In Christ's name, and amen. Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. We have been studying you can call them choruses, hymns. They've been made into songs. One commentator I was reading called these the Christmas hymns of Scripture. We've looked at The Magnificat of Mary, Mary's song after learning of her going to give birth to Jesus. We've looked at the song of Zechariah, the Benedictus. And today we look at the Gloria of the angels on the night Jesus was born. In this passage, let's read it. Chapter 2, I'm going to start from verse 1, but our focus today will be on verses 8 through 14. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that we can read and learn and study your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will indwell and bless me, that I may say and preach the things that you would have me to say, but that we all, Lord, would have a mind and heart opened by the Spirit, that we may listen, that we may hear, that we may be edified by your words, that we may be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. For we pray in his name and amen. The angels announce this in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest." And in Latin, what we often hear is "Gloria in excelsis Deo," which is what it means, is glory to God in the highest. And the angels announce this, but it also says, "On earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." And the King James Version, which we are often familiar with, a lot of us, says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." When you look in the most modern translations, when we look at the Greek, even when we look at when it was transferred from Greek into Latin and other languages, what's really being said here, and you see it here, it says, "Peace among those with whom he is pleased." I actually like the NIV. It says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Because what we're going to talk a little bit about this morning is this glory to God, this glory to God in the highest, this peace, and by extension, goodwill to men. Now, what does peace mean? If you look it up, it can mean a harmony in personal relations or to end hostilities. Whereas goodwill means benevolence, a disposition, I can't speak today, to do good and to promote the welfare of others. You know, for a lot of churches and people, for most Christians, I think, these words, peace and goodwill, we take them to mean to be kind in our relationships and to promote the welfare of others. And surely we would all agree that through Christ, his mission and what he has saved us to, we are to be kind in relationships. We are to show the love of God, and we are to promote the welfare of others. But that has a specific meaning here. Often we take those words and we're not really conveying what the scripture means here on how we get that peace, what it means for relationships, and what God is saying. So the first things that the angels declare here, they declare that his coming is good news, doesn't it? Verse 9 says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone about around them." And you can get this. You can imagine these shepherds in a field. You can imagine. I can't. I have sometimes tried to. And it reminds me, when I first came to the church, Brittany's not here today, but Jennifer told me that Brittany was always, when they were cleaning the church and they would turn all the lights off, that she would be spooked by the church, or especially by the parsonage. at nighttime. And you think, and sometimes when I come over here, if when we're here in Saturday night, I'll come over and adjust the heat and that type of thing. And I come over here and it's pitch dark and you're walking from the front to the back. And it often enters my mind, I don't know why, but this story and those angels appearing to those shepherds. And what it would be like to have an angel and all that light appear before you, and how you would be scared probably out of your mind. You would be taken back by that, wouldn't you? Not necessarily a fear like we think of a child's fear, even though some people may experience that. But just the fear of this something unexpected, something that would have a majesty that we're not accustomed to. And so they appear to these shepherds, and I'm sure it says here they were filled with great fear. And so we would have that natural fear that I'm talking about, that we think about this unknown and the presence of something majestic. But the real fear here that is being spoken of is not the fear of surprise, even though I think that is an element of it. The fear here is the fear of God. And the fear that for all of, since the sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, what hung over man was this separation from God. The wages of sin is death. And that one day we will be standing in the judgment, be held accountable as sinners. Amen? And what the angels are declaring is this, fear not, right? They were filled with great fear. And verse 10 says, the angel says to them, fear not. You don't have to be afraid. Why do we not have to be afraid? Because God is just a nice old grandpa type figure that just, he's just going to forget what we've done because he's just that type of guy? No. They say fear not for a reason. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And some translations say, I think, say it a little better, for all peoples. See, they bring good news. The Jews were looking for a Messiah. And some non-Jews, such as the wise men and so forth, right? But many of the Jewish people were looking for their Messiah to deliver them from the Roman Empire, to restore them, you know, and get them out from under this oppression, and that they were going to be great again, like in the days of David and Solomon. And they focus on a specific people group. But what's wonderful about what we heard when I read Revelation to you earlier, and what we hear here, is this good news. We don't have to be afraid of God anymore because of what he's done. And that news is for all peoples. Amen. It's not just for somebody who has the ethnic lineage of a Jewish of a Jew, a Hebrew. It is for all peoples. Why? Because we're all human beings. There is no such thing as race. Did you know that? There is no such thing. The Bible declares that we are all descendants of Adam and Eve. We are all descendants of Noah and his sons from the ark. We are all one. Do we have variation? Hair color, skin color, eye color, height, stature. These variations that God put into the human to the humankind that would give variation and beauty and all the things that the variations give? Yes. But we are all one, aren't we? The difference in peoples is culture. And what it says here, when you look at ethnicities, this separation from the Tower of Babel, people groups going all over the world, and they develop these different variations of outward characteristics because of this isolation and this separation of the peoples, then that this declaration is, this just isn't for the Jew. This just is to these people who are physically related to Abraham. This is a good news for all peoples, all cultures, all peoples. Doesn't mean everyone will benefit, but no people group, no culture is excused or excluded, I should say. None are excluded. We are all humans. We are all actually one color. Amen? If you went through our vacation Bible school with us, you will know that one of the videos we watched was about how we're all the same. How we all come from Adam and Eve. How the evolutionist and these type of people have promoted this idea of races and differences. But we are all descendants. We are all created by God, descendants of the same mother and father in daughters of Eve and sons of Adam. And that we are all one color. We are different shades. Did you know genetically now we know that everyone is brown? And that only the shade of brown is the difference. You can go to a paint store and see it. Go to the brown section and see what the lightest color is. It's a similar real light pinkish tan color. And the darkest color, of course, is a darker brown. We are all that descendant. And what is being declared is wonderful news. The Jews thought the Gentiles were dogs. Right? They called them pigs and dogs. And there were no hope for them. And as we go through the New Testament, we know God actually has to send a vision to Peter to convince him that he's to go to this Gentile, Cornelius, and that the Gentiles are saved the same way that the Jews are. The apostles who spent all that time with Jesus still had to be shown. And we in the church of Christians today need to realize that this news is for all of us created by God. We are one race, one people. We are called the humankind. Made in the image of God. Amen? Amen. And so this news is fear not. This is good news. It's for all people. Citizens of great joy. There is no greater news. I told you on Wednesday this past for the last few Wednesdays, if we watched a few videos about Christmas and how it's not pagan and all that. We celebrate Christmas. And what... Why wouldn't we want to celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ, which all peoples can be reconciled to God? Amen? Now, sure, there's probably a lazy, non-God-honoring way to do it, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. We should just do it appropriately. For all people, all nations. From what? From the judgment and wrath of God. Fear not. God has a people. And that people is not chosen out of ethnicity. He used a specific ethnicity to bring about Jesus Christ, that we would know Christ and know who He was and know He was the Messiah. But His people are the people of the promise, the New Testament tells us. All who are related rightly to Abraham through faith. Amen? So His coming is good news. Secondly, He is the Messiah. He is that coming deliverer. He is the fulfillment of Scripture. Jesus didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled the law. He is the Messiah that was promised to the people of the Old Testament, who would deliver His people. Verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A Savior, a deliverer, the anointed one. This is what was promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God said to Eve that the serpent, the seed of the serpent would bruise his heel, but the seed of the woman would crush his head. And that deliverer, that redeemer that God promised early on, the angels are announcing His birth into the world. Fully God, fully man. And it tells us, that tells us who Jesus Christ is. But it also tells us who what His mission is. Verse 12. "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." I should have backed up. It was second part 11. "A Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." His mission is as Savior and as Lord and as King. And they gave them a sign so that they would know how to find Him. And you say, well, wouldn't that be hard? No. Babies normally weren't born and laid wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. No, that was not the norm. But what was even more extraordinary is that God Almighty Himself, the creator, the self-existent being who made this whole universe, the sun, the planets, the balance, the entropy of the design of all things. He would come as a person and wrap Himself in flesh. And not only do that, He wasn't born in a royal way. He wasn't born with fanfare and all the things I think the Jews were looking for. He said, you know, you're going to find him and you're going to know it's him because this divine messianic ruler is going to be born to humble means and he's going to be in a manger. And that they were saying, this is the how you'll know our words are true. And it was not only a sign for them, but it's a foreshadow of the humiliation and suffering that Jesus would endure. So what were they being delivered from? This Redeemer, this Deliverer. Were they being delivered from financial issues? Were they being delivered from all their health problems? We have a lot of prosperity teachers and preachers today that would have us believe that. Over and against all of our reality and we can just observe from everyday life that we're not always wealthy and money ain't falling from the sky and we all get sick and we all die. So don't believe that nonsense. No, we're not being delivered from... My best life's not now. I can have a wonderful fruit-filled life now, but my best life is in glory. My best life is going to be in all of eternity with Jesus Christ. And I'm not making light of this life and the tremendous glory and the purposes that God has for it. But no, this deliverance is something far more. It's a deliverance from condemnation. It's a deliverance from... It's a pardon that we will not be judged in our sinfulness, but we will be judged, the believers will be, as to our... service to Jesus Christ and be rewarded for such, the Bible tells us. To be freed from sin and pain and suffering, from torment and from the fear of death. And all this is, we will not be separated from God. Amen. Because he is the source of the love. He is the source of the benefits. He is, you know, when it talks about heaven, the wonderful thing about heaven is not streets of gold. I mean, streets are pavement. The wonderful thing about heaven is the presence of God. And the bad thing and the most worst thing about hell, and the Bible tries to give us descriptors of the torment, of the outer darkness, of the weeping, of the gnashing of the teeth, but the most horrible thing about hell is that separation from God forever. I say it all the time, if it's this bad on this earth and the separation from God, what is hell going to be like? The hostilities with God, us being his enemy, sinners, traitors, there is deliverance. Thirdly, it's not only good news, he's not only the Messiah, the deliverer, but they announce this peace that we spoke of when we started. Who is announcing this peace? In verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Who is it? A multitude. The heavenly host. Do you know what a host is when it's used in the Bible? The host was a word for a military presence or a military army. See, the army of God appears in the sky, not to come and bring judgment, not to escort people into everlasting damnation. The armies of God come to declare the good news and joy in Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, what better news? I mean, all of you should be smiling now. Force one. Amen? This army announces this peace. I just think that's a wow thing, you know, such a moment that the army comes to announce. Glory to God in the highest. Do you think God, isn't God, shouldn't he feel special that we have something to give him glory for? Is that what you think this verse is talking about? Glory to God in the highest. This isn't glory to God in the highest because he lacks something, but it's a confession of what he possesses. He possesses all glory. He is the Lord God, our maker, of whose image we are made in. and they declare peace on earth. See, this peace, in the time of Jesus, there was something what they called the Pax Romana. Me and Chloe learned about it in Latin class. The Pax Romana was something the Romans would say that they had brought peace to the earth because they had conquered the known world. And you get sayings like all roads lead to Rome and communication was kind of standardized in the known world and all that. And they called it the Roman peace. But that's not what's being spoke of here. Some people think this is a universal peace, kind of like the Pax Romana. And we hear this and people take it to mean, oh, all the world's got peace. No, this is talking about peace with God. Peace with God. Amen? Peace with God. We always want to think in earthly terms, don't we? We want to think of earthly peace. No, the peace we all need is peace with our Maker, peace with our Creator. We need peace with God. We got the Amen section over here, don't we? Amen? Among those who He is well pleased. Like I said, the NIV said, to those on whom His favor rests. To all those who His favors rest. See, we want to celebrate Christmas and we want to get the word out and we want to take the word to the world. Because this peace isn't a universal peace to all the people made in the image of God on this earth. It is only to those who He is well pleased. Only to those who has found favor with God. The Bible talks in these terms when it talks about He had foreordained things from the beginning of the world or before the beginning of the world. It's speaking of the providence and sovereignty of God and that only those whom He is pleased and who is He pleased with? He is only pleased with those whom we find faith and belief and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? See, because there's this bad news. This doesn't mean everybody that is made in the image of God has peace. There was people dying then that went to a devil's hell. There are people who are living and dying now that do not know God. And they are lost. And they were separated from Him. The good news is that through Jesus Christ, you can have peace with God. And that peace with God in time, when He consummates His kingdom, will bring eternal peace. But it is only through Him. Jesus Christ, the God of the Muslims, is not the God of the Christians. Because they deny that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is going to come as a shocker. The God of Christianity is not the God of Judaism. Judaism does not worship Jesus as the Messiah. And Jesus Himself said, if you don't know the Father, if you don't know Me, you don't know the Father. Meaning you don't have relationship with Him except through Me. There is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. And that's why this is crucial. It's crucial that Christmas isn't just about presents or Santa or any of those things. It's crucial that what dominates what we say and what we preach and what we teach is that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus came into this world. It's a fantastic way to talk to people who celebrate Christmas but don't know Jesus. Because you can talk to them about what it really means. Don't get angry at Walmart because they don't say Merry Christmas. Why is everybody upset that heathen, unbelievers, don't say Merry Christmas? What I'm upset about is that Christians are upset about that instead of just celebrating Christmas and telling people about Jesus Christ. Amen? It won't do people any good to mutter the mantra of the holiday if they don't know Him. Will it? No. The shepherds were eager to see the Christ child. They were eager to see the Savior. Are you eager to see Him? Are you eager to celebrate Him? Now you know I play with trick questions all the time on Wednesdays and all that. Are you eager? And you say, well, sure, if I was there and a big angel appeared to me and a whole host of God's army, and by golly, I'd be wanting to sing too. I've got the word of God that in its final form that the shepherds don't have. I've got 2,000 years of the teaching of the church, don't I? And so do you. We get to come every week on the Lord's Day to celebrate Him and to worship Him. Are you seeking Him? Are you glad to hear the news? Are you eager to see Him? Are you eager to see Him in your prayer life? Are you eager to see Him in the relationships with other Christians? Are you eager to see Him on Wednesdays and Sundays and the times we set aside to worship Him? Are you? It should manifest itself as we live for Him. Amen? I keep saying that church is not a spectator sport. Church is a place where we come to fellowship and use our gifts and do what Romans 12 says, which is to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, to give back to God, to edify His church. Every day of our lives is through this means of grace, the study of the Word, prayer, and worship. God has announced peace on His people, those who are in Jesus Christ. Over 2,000 years later, these events have no less significance. It is not diminished. He is calling His people from among the world, a people to worship Him, to serve, to grow, to fellowship, to proclaim the forgiveness of sin and the resurrection to new life. Amen? I hope that puts a smile on your face this Christmas season. We're going to observe the Lord's Supper. Because Jesus isn't a baby anymore. It's wonderful to celebrate His birth. But this is that Jesus, and He's not the guy that we put in the pictures that He looks like He needs a cheeseburger or three, and He's holding a lamb, and He looks all frail, and bless His heart. That's not Jesus either. Jesus is the fella in Revelation that appeared to John when John fell on his face, that he couldn't look upon Him. Jesus is at the right hand of the throne, amen? And so today, He's not just a baby. He lived the perfect life. He was the perfect sacrifice. And His blood was shed and He was raised. Amen? Because without that, His birth would be meaningless. And so we're going to partake the supper now. I'd ask our men to come forward.